Good evening. We're very happy you're here tonight. We see some folks who have visited earlier in the week and they're back with us, and we're very pleased about that. We hope you're comfortable and we hope you enjoy being with us here. We hope you feel like it's worthy of your time. I've enjoyed the singing very much all week. It's been very uplifting. I appreciate the prayers on my behalf especially, but I've appreciated the prayers that have been worded and the thoughts that have been there. I appreciate the spirit that's here of love, and a lot of kind words have been said to me, and I appreciate that very much. And I hope that it's a benefit to you that we're together, and I hope it'll be a blessing to you. A couple of years ago, 2 years ago, my family was blessed to go to Hawaii. And I don't know if you've ever been there. If you haven't, I'll encourage you to go there. They call it an island paradise. They said 84 degrees is cold, 85 degrees is normal, 86 degrees is hot. The wind doesn't blow there. The water's beautiful and the plants are beautiful, and we had a wonderful time being there and vacationing, and we enjoyed ourselves very much. And my youngest daughter became sick. She came down with strep throat, and she was very ill, and we went to a pharmacy and got her some medication, and her and I stayed one day in a motel room. And everyone went, and when they got back, they said, "You missed the best thing we've done." And that's too bad, you know. I want to impress upon your mind a few thoughts tonight based on what if you miss heaven. You know, there's not some people here who I used to see when I came here. There's some people who have fallen away, and they've gone into the world and they've turned their back and their heart from Christ. And that makes me very sad. What if you live your whole life and right here today is as close as you will get to heaven? You know, that may be true for someone here today. And if you're going to miss heaven, I want you to know what you're going to miss. The Bible says there will be no sin in heaven. No death, no sorrow, no crying, and no pain. And I want you to know, if you miss heaven, you're going to miss out on that condition, that blessed condition. In Revelation chapter 21 and there verse 4, the Bible says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away." I want to ask you a question. What if you could today take and remove all pain from the world? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, I don't know how many people are hurting today. There's people here tonight that are in pain. They're in back pain, or maybe they have leg pain or tooth pain, or maybe they have emotional pain of some kind. But what if we could take and remove pain from the world? We'd be given awards and peace prizes, and we could go on and on about how wonderful that would be. We would be a hero to no end. But you know, there'd still be sorrow in the world. Well, what if you could remove from the world sorrow, where all people were happy and no one felt sadness at any time? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You just remove the problems and the troubles and the heartaches. How great that would be. But you know, you'd still have death. And I don't suppose that we have the ability to go and imagine or understand a world without sin. I don't guess we can. It's all we've known. It's all there's been. I believe now for about 6,000 years, as the world has stood, just sin. And the effects of sin on our life is difficult to quantify because it affects us every day, day in and day out. But if you miss heaven, you're going to miss a condition of no sin, no sorrow, no pain, no crying. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." We've been blessed with this lively hope. A hope of a day where we will be with God and we'll have that blessed condition of no sin. We'll be free from sin from then on because we'll have passed the test. And if you miss out on heaven, you're going to miss out on that condition. He goes on to say, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." There is a place reserved for you in heaven. And if you miss heaven, you miss that place that is reserved for you. A place where God has designed a dwelling for you, where He can love you and be with you and bless you with the greatest blessings that will ever be. You miss out. He says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." We ought to be really glad, because your reward is going to be tremendous. I'm going to tell you what, if we took pain away from the earth today, that would be, it'd be magnificent. Magnificent. But we can't do that. We can't even remove our own pain. And that's just how feeble we are. But if you miss heaven, you're going to miss that condition of no sin. Number two, if you miss heaven, you're going to miss the tree of life and the river of life, or the water of life. And I don't know if these things are totally figurative. I suppose there was an actual tree in the garden. They seem like they're very similar in their nature, so I'm just going to be honest about that. In the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9, he says, "Out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." It's been the design evidently from God for there to be life. And the tree was a part of that. And we've been told again and again about a river of life, a river of water of life. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7, the Bible says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Can you imagine with me going up to this beautiful tree with a fruit on it of life and plucking that fruit and knowing what it's going to impart? Life. Eternal life. And thinking about the promise of God and tasting that. And it filling a hunger that has been in you since the day you were born. A hunger that you have tried to satisfy every time you've opened God's book. Every time you've come to a place like this and worshiped. Every time you've prayed. Every time you've begged forgiveness. That fruit has been on your mind and on your lips. And there's coming a day that you'll grasp that fruit and you'll taste its flesh. And all those things will be fulfilled. Can you imagine missing that? In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 14, he said, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have a right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." It'll be your right, your God-given right. But you know what happens with folks? They don't do His commandments. People that walk away from God, they don't keep His commandments. They don't follow His commandments. And they forfeit that right. And if you miss heaven, you'll miss the fruit of the tree of life. Let's talk about the water of life. In John chapter 4 and verse 14, Jesus said, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." You know, I could make all the same applications that we go there to a river of water and we bend down with cupped hands and we drink a drink of water that will sustain us eternally to where we never thirst. And it will fill those voids that we discussed in Revelation 21 and verse 6. He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountains of the water of life freely." You know what the truth is? All that is about restoring to man everything that was lost in Adam. There's a lot lost. When Adam and Eve partook of that fruit, there was a lot that went away. Their opportunity to be with God went away. Their condition of innocence went away. Their life went away because death came into the world. All those things that we've discussed, they're bundled up with this. And everything that was taken there from man will be restored tenfold, 30-fold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold, 1,000,000-fold. If you miss heaven, you miss the tree of life and the river of life. Number three, if you miss heaven, you miss total perfection. Total perfection. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 52, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Incorruptible. And I want to talk to you about a problem that everyone here has, and I have. We're corruptible. Our minds, they're corruptible. Our hearts are corruptible. You know, the truth is, there's some sinful things I like. And there's some sinful things you like. And it corrupts us. And we fight it. And we resist. And I believe we're blessed by that resistance. And yet we're plagued and we can think about a lot of people who've had difficulty with sin and they've resisted and they've fallen and they've got back up and they've fought through and they've fallen again. And you know, Paul talked about the things I know I should do, I do not. And the things I know I should not do, that I do. And there's coming a day in which not only will everything around us be perfect, but we'll be made perfect. How would you like to miss that? To miss out on perfection and sinlessness. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7, he says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God and he shall be my son." We've got to overcome. We've got to endure and you've got to fight. And you've got to take the mind of Christ and you've got to put it in your mind and replace those sinful things with good and godly things. And we've got to fight this fight every day of our life till we draw a last breath. And the fight's over. And then perfection. And then we'll lay in the bosom of Abraham for a little while, and then we'll be made perfect when Jesus descends. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2, he says, I knew a man above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell, such an one caught up into the third heaven. Paul couldn't describe it. He couldn't describe how wonderful it was. I don't know how it was. I don't know whether it was me. I don't know if it was in my body. But I was called up into a state and a place of perfection. Revelation 21 and there verse 22. He says, I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty is the Lamb, and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. And the kings of earth do bring their glory and their honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh an abomination or maketh a lie, but them which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Everybody who's there is perfect. Everybody is perfect. Now, if you miss heaven, you'll miss out on that. If you miss heaven, you won't be perfect. You'll be corrupt. If you miss heaven, you won't dwell with those who are perfect. You'll dwell with all the corrupt. And if you miss out on heaven, you'll dwell with the godless and the heathens and the abominable and the cursed, and we could go on and on, folks. You'll dwell in a place where there's no light, no city, no comfort, no care, and no one to care. If you miss heaven, you're going to miss out on a state of completeness and perfectness. Number 4. If you miss out on heaven, then you don't get to dwell with God and with Christ. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3, he says, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. You know, that thought is very far and distant from our minds. Because the Bible says no man seen God and lived. Moses said, God, I want to see your glory. And he said, you can't see me and live. Not only could he not dwell with him, he couldn't even see him. And so he hid him and he covered him. And he let his glory pass by. And if you remember the account, Moses' face just glowed. And when he went down, he scared everybody half to death. They said, you got to cover yourself. We can't stand it. It's hard to imagine to dwell with pure holiness. Pure holiness. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7, he says, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. You know, one of the great punishments of God is to be banned from witnessing his full glory. And if we were to witness it today, we couldn't handle it. I had a friend, in high school, he asked this young lady on a date. She agreed. They went out, saw a movie, and had supper together. He brought her home, walked her to the door of her parents' home. He gave her a kiss, and she fainted. She couldn't handle it, I guess. I guess he's a good kisser. I don't know. She fainted. So he grabbed her and fought for the doorbell and had a lot of explaining to do.
You know, there's a lot of things we can't handle. What if you took all the happy times? Man, how many times have you laughed till you cried? And laughed till your sides hurt? What if we took all those moments and crammed them into just one moment? We couldn't handle it. We'd pass out. If we took all the good things that have happened in our life and the times that our hearts are filled with emotion and joy, we can handle it. All the love that we feel from brethren and friends and in Christ, the times that our hearts are stirred with the Spirit of God and goosebumps on our arms at a song, if all those moments were crammed together and all the goodness and holiness, we couldn't handle it. It might take us a week to wake up. And there's a day coming when we get to be in the arms of Jesus. Holiness, pureness, pure love. That day, that's coming for you. Unless you give up. And if you miss heaven, you miss out on that. The greatest joy of all eternity. You miss it. You know, I told my son's basketball. He's basketball crazy. He loves basketball. Played it. He loves college basketball, pro basketball. He loves backyard basketball. I says one day, if you could go to any event, what would it be? He said, Final Four. College basketball, the Final Four. That's what I want to go see. And there's a few football nuts here, and though maybe your team didn't do too well today, there's probably some event you would love to go see. A national championship or a Super Bowl or maybe some other thing, but I'm going to tell you, if there's one event you do not want to miss, this is it. When we're crowned with glory. When we meet Jesus. Don't miss that. You miss everything else you got to miss, but don't miss that. Because everything else will be forgotten. Not a Super Bowl will be remembered. Not one. Not a president. Not a birthday. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Don't miss it. Don't miss out. Heaven's too wonderful. The blessings are too great. Whatever problem or difficulty you have today is so insignificant. It's so meaningless. Whatever joy you get from a sinful activity is so fleeting and so unfulfilling to risk missing it all. You know, some people will have had many, many opportunities to obey. And they won't. Some people will hear invitation song after invitation song after song after song. And they'll miss.
In the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" I think that's why you're here. What can I do? Because I want to go to heaven. Master, what should I do? Well, they discussed that. And the Bible says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." I was thinking about this, and I thought how thrilled I would be if I had that opportunity to go to Jesus and say, what do I need to do to go to heaven? And if he looked me in the eyes and said, "You lack one thing," I'd be thrilled. Because I think he's probably going to say, "You lack 949 things. You got a lot of work to do, boy." If he said, "You lack one thing," what is it? You know, there's probably someone here tonight who lacks one thing. And you're going to miss it all for one thing. Don't be that person. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you need to change that tonight. If you know there's something that stands between you and God, change that tonight. If you've never named His name and been washed in His blood, if you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you need to do that tonight. Don't miss heaven for one thing. We're going to sing this song. And that's your opportunity to make it right. To get right. Do that and don't miss out as we stand and sing.